103, Psalm 103. I'm going to read the whole thing. And while you turn there, I'm going to remind you I'm starting a new series. And I'm calling it ABCs of the Christian Life, or you can call it A Closer Walk with God. But I'm going to go through some things, the simple things, and then work our way up. And tonight I want to talk to you about the blessings and responsibilities of being a Christian. And Psalm 103 will remind us how good it is to know the Lord. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. For as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, and upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Now, everybody has some big events in their life. Everybody's got one birth. Amen. Everybody was born. Everybody's got some big events. Maybe it was a baby being born in your family. Maybe it was your graduation from high school or college. Maybe it was a marriage, or maybe it was death. But everybody has big events in their life sometimes. But the most important event you'll ever have is when you become a Christian. That's the greatest event you'll ever have. I was born April 16th, 1954, a little bald-headed, toothless, wrinkled boy baby. And I've been a little boy baby ever since. And when I die, I'll go out bald-headed, toothless, and wrinkled, just like I came in. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. 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 But the greatest thing ever happened to me was March the 5th, 1978, when I met Jesus Christ and I was born again. Now, that's the greatest thing that will ever happen to anybody. Because, see, those other things won't last long. This lasts forever.
That's right.
Amen. A lot of people live from weekend to weekend to have a great event every weekend. They got plans. Even some of these churches do that now. It's one big event after another, but they got to have a new one every week because the old one runs out. But you get born again, that's one big event you'll never get over. Amen. And so in this series, I want to try to help you to maybe appreciate some things that most people don't learn until later in their Christian life. Some people never learn it. Some people never get anything but salvation. They never go any farther. And boy, there's so much more that we can look up to heaven and say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Amen? Amen. Now, number one, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Now, I'm going to go a little bit faster than I usually do on Wednesday night. 1 John chapter 3, because song leader insisted on singing four verses to Everson. First John, he said, they wrote them, we're supposed to sing them. Amen. First John chapter 3 verse 1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Listen to this. We ought to bless the Lord, and we ought to count it as a big event that we got God as our Father that day. He adopted me into His family. I was I'm just a little illegitimate boy. Never knew who my father was, still don't. But thank God that day I got me a father. Amen. I got the best father I'll ever have. God's our Heavenly Father. And we ought to think about the blessings of having God as our Father. A lot of people don't think about that. I'll say, are you saved? Yeah. Well, you accepted Christ? Yeah. And that's it. They never think about all the blessings that go with that. Well, think about the blessing of having God as our Father. James 1:17. You already know it, but turn over there anyway. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Did you know He's the source of every good and perfect gift?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I don't care if you was lost and going to hell. If you had something good, it came from Him.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. He's the only thing that is good.
That's right.
Now, you look. I used to have a friend, Brother Johnny Coley. He was a member up there at our mother church, Independent Bible Baptist there in Charlotte. And I took him to pastor school with me there in Hammond, Indiana one year, him and Terry McAteer. Best year I ever had there. And we stayed together a week, and that's really when you find out who Christian brothers really are, if you can live with them for a week. And we had a wonderful time. And every time we'd go to eat or something, he'd pay for it. And I'd say, thank you, Brother Johnny. He said, no, don't thank me. All good gifts come from the Father above. Thank Him. Every time he'd say that, I'd say, yeah, but I need to thank you. No, don't thank me. All good. He wouldn't let me thank him. He had the right idea. There's some blessings to being a child of God. It'll get you a closer walk with Him if you'll just count your blessings.
That's right.
Count your blessings. Now, He's the source of all good. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I get hot up here. That returns up there. So y'all let me know if you get hot. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Did I say?
Yes.
I knew I wrote it down wrong. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3. Y'all don't mind if I take my coat off. It won't intimidate none of y'all will.
No.
Second Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 3 with me. Are you there yet?
Yes.
Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, knowing Him as our Heavenly Father gets us comfort in all our situations.
Amen.
Now, everybody has bad days. That's why Job's in the book. Look at the Apostle Paul's life. He wouldn't qualify to pastor nowhere when they saw his resume. He spent more time in jail than he did in the pulpit. Amen. Look at Daniel. They cast him in den of lions. You ain't had no worse day than that. Amen. Look at Jonah. He spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale in the bottom of the ocean. How low you been? Amen. But God comforted them. And God comforts us in all our tribulation. And some of us will go through trial and tribulation, sickness, heartache, heartbreak. But let me tell you something. You draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to thee. And He'll comfort you if you'll ask Him. You know what? I'm starting to believe this, and I'm 65 and I'm getting older every day, and I feel it more every day, but I'm also getting wiser. I think a lot of Baptists don't want to be comforted.
Ooh.
They like feeling sorry for themselves. They're having a good time. That was a pity party. You can tell they walk around, they got that lip stuck out. Don't nobody love me. Ain't nobody call me. Didn't nobody send me a card. My preacher didn't come see me and my toenail got hurt. I just, shut up. Won't you get God to comfort you? Amen. Nobody's ever come to comfort me. Nobody's ever come see me. Nobody's ever had to come see me to get me to go to church since I've been saved. Now, before I got saved, they did a lot. But after I got saved, nobody's had to come and comfort me and come on, come on. I know she hurt your feelings, but you need to come back anyway, you know. But why don't you look up to God and let Him comfort you, amen? No doctor's going to do it.
No,
preacher can't do it. You better look up to heaven. Our Heavenly Father gives you comfort. Now, then on, by the way, I'm not quite through with my cold, as you can tell. Then on the other hand, look at Hebrews chapter 12. Now, there's some benefits to having God as our Heavenly Father. That's why I'm trying to tell you tonight. It gets you a closer walk to God if you know this. Hebrews chapter 12. Turn over there. Most of you already know it. If you don't, you've experienced it, and you should have read it before you experienced it. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 5. There's a lot more of it to read, but look at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. Would you underline every son? Every son whom he receiveth. Look, if you've been saved over a week and God hadn't whipped you, you probably either ain't right with God, you got backslid real quick.
Yeah.
He chastens his children. If you go on and read it, he says your earthly father, if he loved you, he chastened you because he loved you. Don't you think your heavenly father is a better father than your earthly father?
Amen.
Yes, he is. Sure he is. I love my children. I chastened them. I hated every minute. I didn't like chastening my children. That never was enjoyable to me. But I tell you what, God the Father knows more than I do, and he'll chasten me, and he'll do it better than I could ever do it. And he knows how to chasten you, by the way.
Yep.
But thank God that having a heavenly father, I can be chastened. People say, pray for me, preacher. The devil's been on me all week. And sometimes I don't say it. I try to be nice. But I think I ain't seen you in church in 6 weeks. And it may not be the devil on you.
Wow. Yeah.
It may be the Lord on you.
Right.
Some people say, pray for me, preacher. I'm sick. The old devil made me sick. And I don't say it. I try to be nice. I'm from Lancaster. Sometimes it's hard. But what I think is, you ain't been right with God for a long time. It may not be the devil that's on you.
Yeah.
It may be the Lord. Come on, help me. Now, I'm not saying all sickness and all whippings are from the Lord, but I'm saying this, he whips his children. And he doesn't whip the devil's children. If you can go on and live any old way you want to, and nothing ever goes against that, then you don't know the Lord. Man, we used to live in town. We lived over here in Rock Hill Home. My kids get out in the street. We'd say, stay out of that street. Stay out of that tree. Tracy was one of them street kids. Yeah, he was. And I'd say, stay out of that street. You know, when they were real little. And they test you. You ever see a kid, you tell him not to do something. Don't touch that. And he'll go. And he'll watch your face. That's the Adam in him coming out. Amen. Dirty, rotten sinner. And then you reach up and stay out. I told you stay out of that road, and they won't. Then you go get you a switch and snatch them up and whip them 2 or 3 times, and they'll stay out of the road.
Yes.
Now, if you can stay in the road, then you don't belong to me. Because I'm not whipping nobody else's children.
No.
I get put in jail.
That's right.
Not that I haven't wanted to. Well, actually, I did at camp one time. I whipped a little boy one time. I called his mama, and she said, whip him. I said, I done whipped him so much I feel bad about it. You need to come get him. I can't come get him. Whip him again. And I felt bad, real bad. But in Hebrews 13, if you turn back to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, Hebrews 13, look at verse 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetous and be content with such things you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper,
Amen.
And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, when you get to know God as your Father, you know what you'll find out? He'll never forsake you.
Amen.
Now, I've had friends forsake me. I've had Christians claim to be my brother and sister in Christ forsake me. I've had family forsake me. But Jesus has never left me, and he's never forsook me. Matter of fact, he usually walks in when they walk out.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, that's a benefit that you get by having God as your Father.
Yeah.
That's just blessings that we get. It's not that we're any better, it's just that he is. And he's adopted us, and he's promised to do these things for us. Now, did you know because of that though, there are some responsibilities. Did you know when I realize what God my Father, what that means when I say God my Father, did you know I realize there's some things that I need to do to stay in fellowship with him so I can have these blessings? You know, parents get out of, and children get out of fellowship sometimes. And it's usually because the child got older and thought they knew more than mom and daddy. And they got out of the will of mom and daddy and they didn't have a relationship anymore because of it. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
I've met people that hadn't talked to their daddy in 20 or 30 years because them and their daddy got in a fuss. I remember we started that little old church down there in Lancaster when I was 20 something years old in that old liquor store. Some of y'all need to hear that story again. And started that church in that empty liquor store. Let's put it that way, okay? It was empty. And we rented that building, but we couldn't get the dots off. They'd bleed back through every time we'd paint them big red dots. Never forget this guy came in there, and he was an Appalachian American. And for those of us from South Carolina, we call that a hillbilly.
Yeah.
He was from up around Silver, North Carolina, way up in the hills, way up in the hills. Yeah. We're talking about hillbillies, ain't we? And the old boy was a drunk. He was older than me. And we rented that liquor store, and it had those two big old glass windows in the front. We had no curtains. And I'd stand there and preach on Sunday morning, and across the street was a convenience store, and the winos and drunks would sit around over in the parking lot and drink and make fun of us because they could see us through the window. Well, one of them came to church one Sunday. And then the next Sunday, he brought this other guy with him. And the Lord got all over that other guy, and he was just crying and holding on to the seat. And then after about two different visits, I think, he broke out and come down the aisle that Sunday, weeping and crying, got down the altar, and this guy was another young guy was supposed to be helping me. He got down there and prayed and talked and talked and talked. And I kept, there wasn't about 12 of us, you know, and I kept the invitation going on. And finally, the boy looked up at me and said, I don't know what to do. So I said, y'all keep singing. So I got down there and talked to him, took him through the scripture. He said, you don't understand. I can't be saved. He's weeping and crying. So I prayed with him, you know, and we got let loose. And then that week I went to see him. Well, he was a drunk and he lived in a boarding house. And I went up there and he got to crying, telling me about his life. And he had left the mountains because him and his daddy had gotten in a fist fight. And over him drinking, and he moved out, and after he moved out, his daddy's house caught on fire and burnt down with his daddy in it, and his daddy burned up. And he said, I never got to tell him I was sorry. I'm going to go to hell, and ain't nothing I can do about it. I said, yes, there is.
Amen.
And I led him to Christ. But he went out, and by the way, he was going to AA, and he quit AA. He said, I don't need that. He said, I got saved. God delivered me. I don't need that. He said, I have no taste for it anymore. I have no desire for it. I don't need that. But I'm going to tell you, it was hard. He went into DTs one night.
Yes.
When he first quit, delirium tremors.
Yes.
And he saw the devil. And he said, wrestled with the devil. And the devil kept telling him he wasn't saved. And finally he said, I remember something you preached. And I looked at him and said, devil, you go to hell because I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. And I can't be lost in the name of Jesus. Leave me alone. He said, devil disappeared. My DTs quit. And I've been good ever since. And I met the AA man in his front yard one Saturday when I went up to see him. And the AA director in Lancaster County area there, whatever it was, that particular group. And we kind of run into each other on the sidewalk, and I introduced myself. He said, I'm up here to see, and I don't want to call his name because she's on the internet, but I said, well, I am too. He said, well, he's been missing AA. I said, no, he hasn't been missing. He quit. He said, he can't do that. I said, yes, he can. He said, no, he's an alcoholic. I said, he ain't no more. He said, yes, he is. He will be all your life. I said, no, he won't. I said, the Bible says if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. I said, go up there and ask him. So I went on down the road, and he went up there and asked me. I went to see the man later on. The man said, I told that man, I don't need his help no more. I said, I got Jesus. He said, I don't need to sit around crying on everybody's shoulder. I'm free. I don't have that desire anymore. It's gone.
Yes.
Amen. And but see, he was that way because he submitted to God.
Yes, sir.
Now, when we submit to him, and we ought to,
yeah,
then he can work in our lives.
Right.
If you will, turn to James chapter 4. Man, I'm running out of time. Y'all don't listen very fast on Wednesday night. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. I'm talking about a closer walk with God. That's a new series I'm doing, the ABCs of the Christian life. James chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Yes.
Submit yourself therefore to God. In other words, humble yourself.
Yes.
Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Yes.
Look at this. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Yes.
Now, there it is. Jesus Christ, God is my Father. Through Jesus Christ, I have the ability to draw nigh to God and get the victory, whatever it might be.
Yes.
But in order to do that, I've got to submit myself to him.
Yes.
Paul said, I die daily.
Yes.
He told us we need to crucify our flesh every day. And we do. We have to nail it to the cross every day. And then you seek God and draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. And listen, don't you think just like an earthly father loves it like you do when your children draw nigh to you, don't you think that God loves it when we draw nigh to him, our Heavenly Father? Sure he does. A woman called me one day from our mother church. If I called her name, you know, I think her name was... I better not start with Jay. She called me, and she said, I've been having an argument with this other lady from our church, and if I call her name, you know it. And said, we want you to settle the argument. I said, well, I don't know if I can do that or not. She said, well, here's the argument. Does God favor some of his children more than others? I don't believe they do, she said. I said, you're wrong. He does.
Yes, he does.
I said, he said, draw nigh to God. God draw nigh to you. I said, if you'll draw nigh to him, you get closer to him. If you get closer to him, he blesses you more because you're in his presence. And I said, some people never get close to him, so they don't know the blessings.
Right.
He said, Esau I hated, but Jacob I loved. Why? Because Jacob sought him.
Yes.
See? So, that's a benefit, but in order to get it, you're going to have to be obedient and humble yourself and crucify your own self and draw nigh to God, and then God will take care of you. Now, as an earthly father, now I know my kids, they're not like they used to be. Used to be I'd walk in the house and, you know, there's that little, daddy, 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 daddy. said, you know, one would jump on this arm and one, and I'd carry them around like that. And I'd have one on my foot, you know, dragging them through the house. And they'd say, Daddy, you're the strongest man in the world, Daddy. I weighed 160 pounds, 155 pounds, you know. And Daddy, you're the strongest. But they wasn't 3 or 4 years old. But you know what? They couldn't have bought me anything made me more happy than that right there. And then as they get older, they did that less and less, less and less. And then after they became teenagers, I could always tell when they wanted something. Because they start rubbing my hair until my hair was starting to grow back. And how handsome I was. Now my grandkids get up there and say, Papa, you got a hole in your hair right there. I said, I covered that up. But you see, I love that when my kids come. I love that. Now, there's been times when me and my children didn't get along. Suzanne got so mad at me one time, she wouldn't hardly talk to me for about a week till I sat down and wrote her a letter and apologized. I didn't know what I did, but I apologized and said, I'm not good at this. I've never had a father. I don't know how to be a father. I'm just now learning and you're my first one. So please be patient. Love me like I love you. And we kind of made up. But now as adults, when they talk to me, it just thrills my soul. Now here's these educated women. They're educated. They have college degrees, teaching degrees, master's degree. Got one working on a PhD, is it?
Doctor.
I got two PhDs on the back of the storage building, post-hole diggers. But they talk to me like I'm smart. And I think, man, they're smarter than I am. But they'll talk to me and ask me advice or tell me how wise I am. And sometimes they'll tell me I'm handsome. I'd give them anything in the world. I would. When they get like that, I'd give them anything in the world. Wouldn't you? Don't you think the Heavenly Father's like that? God, I love you. You're a good God. God, you're so good to me. I'm so undeserving and you're so good. And God, you love me so much and I'm so unlovable. I wouldn't even love me, God, but you love me just like I am anyway. You love me so much you gave your son for me. God, you're a powerful God. You've done such great things in my life and you've done this and you've done that. God loves that. And thank God we've got a Heavenly Father that we can draw nigh to.
Yes.
I said, growing up, I never had a father. So back then in the 50s and 60s, you know, that was awful. Mm-hmm. 2% of the population was illegitimate, and I was part of that 2%. And now it's 2% legitimate. Amen. It's the truth. Read the paper tomorrow. Every time they have births in there, you'll see the father and the mother have two different names. You look at it.
Yes.
Boy, this world's in a mess.
It is.
And they're not ashamed of it. We was ashamed of it. Diana Ross used to sing that song, Love Child, a song about a little girl being born outside of wedlock, and what a shame it was. And that was me. And listen, I never had a father on Father's Day at school. And I never, those days that the fathers come to talk about their job and things like that, I never had one, you know. I was the one that nobody wanted their kid to hang around with because I didn't have a father, and they thought I'd be a bad influence on them. But thank God he adopted me one day. And I got a Heavenly Father. I can go, hey, every day, me and my wife pray together every morning. And she goes off to school and I come down here and I get right there every day and me and my father talk.
Amen.
We talk every day. And I'll go in there and read his word and he'll talk. He talks to me. He walks with me and he talks to me. He really does. But right there is where I talk to him. And then I open his word in there and he talks back.
Yes.
I thank God I got a Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
That is one of the benefits of walking with God.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Did you know a lot of Christians don't notice?
You're right.
They go to church on Sunday and they and they dance and they jump up and down and then they'll go home and they'll say, boy, we had church today. No, you didn't. You didn't meet God. You just entertained that flesh a little bit. That's all you did. Hey, when you get in his presence, you're going to fall on your face. There ain't going to be no jumping up and down. You're going to be laying down flat on your face, weeping and crying. You're going to be like Isaiah said, you know, woe is me. Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Look, when he comes in, you'll go down. But thank God, that's the way you ought to respect your father anyway. If you have an earthly father, you'll respect him that way. But I'm glad I got one. Now, that's a benefit of being saved. Now, next week, I'm going to tell you about my brother. I got a brother.
Amen.
His name's Jesus.
Amen.
He said, I'll call you brother. Amen.
Yeah.
He's my brother. He's my friend. He's my savior. He's my enlightenment. He's everything.
Yeah.
And so next week, come back and we'll talk about a closer walk with God through the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest.
Yes.
Thank God I got a high priest.
Yes.
I saw this week where the Pope apologized for something. Jesus will never have to apologize for anything.
That's right.
I saw last week where he bent down and kissed the Muslim's toe. It'll be a cold day in hell before he'd ever kiss the toe of a Muslim. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey, he's the one that put Muhammad where he's at now, burning forever and ever. I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, you just don't know the Bible, that's all. I mean, if you knew the Bible, that wouldn't offend you. Thank God, my brother. So now when I was little, we used to, there was a gang up the street. They'd come down and practice beating people up on me and my little brother. And there'd be about eight of them. They'd just take turns. I'm serious. They'd take turns beating us up. And, I remember one night I run there and got the butcher knife. My big brother come home, drove up in the yard just as I was about to stab one. Look, now I send Jesus to the door.
Amen.
He's got a sword. Amen. Come back. We'll talk about it. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant.